Okay, Chevra, we are learning the halachos of Bishul B'Shabbos, and the last topic of conversation that we had related to the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah lahalacha about Bishul Achar Bishul Bayadavar Lach. We pointed out that there are shitos in Rishonim, Rashi primarily, that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul Bayadavar Lach. There are shitos in Rishonim who assume fundamentally in Bishul Achar Bishul Bayadavar Lach. That's the shita of the Ran. And we pointed out that the Rambam is somewhere in between. We also noted that the Mechaber seems to paskin that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul Bayadavar Lach. And the Ramah, it's unclear how he paskins, because the Ramah tells me that the minhag is lahaka if it's one it's tani legamrei. That's what we saw until now. We noted that there are potential nafgaminas within this question, and just to be more precise, there are potential nafgaminas within the havana of the Ramah. Just to assuming that we, for the purposes of this shiur, we are Eurocentric Ashkenazi Jews. So the Ramah paskins that if it is lo nitzan in legamrei, it's permitted. So the Magen Avraham understood the Ramah as saying that fundamentally yesh bishul achar bishul bayadavar lach. However, we pointed out that there's a whole other mahalach, which is that fundamentally the Ramah paskins that ein bishul achar bishul by a davar lach. The only thing is, if it's nitzan in the gamre, it's some sort of maris ayin. And the last thing that we noted was a question about my second cup of hot water, let's say. Right? One of the guys pointed out maybe tea is a bad example because it's some issue official on the leaves, but let's assume we're talking about just liquid. And the question is making that second cup of tea. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva in Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Gimel, Rav Moshe addresses a Shoel who was makel on this question because he says Iroi is only Bishul Midrabanan, and because Iroi is only Bishul Midrabanan, so therefore you can be makel like those shitos that ain Bishul Achar Bishul by Davalach. So Rav Moshe says, dude, like you're totally off base. We paskin that Iroi is Bishul min HaTorah. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses the Chiyuv of Chala. The Chiyuv of Chala, let's assume, only sets in when I bake the bread, not if I cook the dough. Let's assume like that for the time being. So if I pour the boiling water on the flour, so that's going to mema'it the shir of challah on the level of Doraisa. Zakra Moshe, that shows me that Iroi is bishul min hatayra. We see this in many areas of halacha. The pashtus is that Iroi is bishul min hatayra. That seems to be standard, although, you know, if you want to say popol shiurim, you could always find some shitos, but the mainstream shita is that Iroi is bishul min hatayra. I, the Mishnah Brura, had a question. If you remember, Iroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. And the Mishnah and the Gemara Menachos says that you're only Chayiv on Bishul Kedei Klipa if it's on both sides of the item. So the Mishnah Brura in the Shar Hatzion Osei says, well, I got a kasha. He doesn't even answer the kasha. He says, how can there potentially be Bishul with Iroi when you have to cook both sides? So that's the kavana of the Shoel when he entertained the idea that Iroi is only Mevashel Midrabanan because it's not cooking both sides. So if Moshe says, dude, you're a nice guy, you probably have a beard and everything, but this is just wrong, because the Mishnah Brura's Cheshbon that maybe Iroi is Dirabanan is talking about Iroi on top of a salad. On top of a solid, you have to cook both sides. But when I cook on a liquid, so the yesod of a liquid is that cooking on this side impacts on the other side. By definition, liquids, I'm sure I remember from high school, there's like some term in chemistry that everything becomes farmished. No, everything. It's a technical term. I went to Yeshiva Farakle, so Far Mishta is a technical term that we learned in chemistry. But the idea is if I pour on one side of the liquid, it's gonna, you can't speak about this side of the liquid as opposed to the other side of the liquid. It's all the same side. So if Moshe says, Iroi min ha-Torah, of course it's Bishul. Nonetheless, if Moshe says you could be makel on the second cup of tea, because Zotav Moshe, we have to say that the Ramah fundamentally holds that in b'shalach ha-bishul by davar. It's just a chumrah that yesh b'shalach ha-bishul by davar, and therefore, because on the fundamental halacha it's in b'shalach ha-bishul, so if there's only a few tiny drops at the bottom, it's going to be not a problem. That's where Moshe Feinstein argues in that tshuva. In Siifka, in Siman Sadi Gimel. Others have more complicated cheshbonos to be makel. We pointed out the Shvisas HaShabbos said that he only saw one gadol who was machmir on drying out the cup with Aryeh Leib of Stavitsk. Nobody else is machmir on drying out the cup. So the Shvisas HaShabbos works very hard. He says, well, maybe the pshat is that it is a psik resha de lo nihilei. You see, the Shvisas HaShabbos is dealing with a case that's slightly different than the Igros Moshe. In the case of the Igros Moshe, we're talking about the second cup of tea, which is the water that was already cooked once. The Shvisas HaShabbos says, I never saw anyone dry out the cup. That means even a cup that was rinsed in cold water. How could that be mutter? How could it be permitted to pour water into a cup that has certain droplets of liquid on it? The chayyur is bishul min ha-Torah on those droplets. So the Shvisas HaShabbos entertains the idea that maybe this is a psik resha de lo nihilei, and we follow the position of the Aruch that psik resha de lo nihilei is permitted. Remember, psik resha is I do ma'isa A, and ma'isa B happens inevitably. But my kavanah l'cha'ora is not for ma'isa B. My kavanah is only for ma'isa A. So over here, my kavanah is to fill up a cup with hot water. I don't really have any kavanah for bishul. And it's lo nichole. I don't want those drops of cold water there because if anything, I want a hotter cup of hot water or tea. Those drops at the bottom are cooling off my liquid. So maybe the kula over here was that it's called a psik resha de lo nihilei. Maybe the kula is that I'm not happy with the fact that my tea gets colder. That's the potential yishuv of Rabbi Aryeh Leib. That's potential yishuv of the minig Rabbi Aryeh Leib of Stavitsk. Most of the poskim say that you have to be machmir. If there is cold water at the bottom of the cup, cold water in the sense of water that was never cooked. But the kula is when there is water that was cooked at the bottom. And in that case, perhaps there is room to be makel because it's a psik resha de lo nichole on a iser derabanan. If you fundamentally hold that ain bishul achar bishul by davar lach. In the worst case scenario, there's an iser derabanan. When I make that second cup of tea, it is a psik resha de lo nichole on an iser derabanan, and that could be the cheshbon to be makel. This is already razzle dazzle lumdus, but again, it's razzle dazzle lumdus. That's a Rabbi Sabalovsky word. No, I'm not allowed to use it, but it's razzle dazzle lumdus in Hilchos Shabbos. You have to know what a psik resha de lo nichole is. Like, or else that's like really bad. If we give you smicha, you know what a psik resha de lo nichole is. So potentially the cheshbon is that we're makel on a psik resha de lo nichole on an iser derabanan, because even if you hold yesh bishul achar bishul by yedavar lach, that din is only midrabanan. Min ha-Torah, we're going to say ein bishul achar bishul by yedavar lach. That's a way of defending this position. Okay. Now, a few other applications of this principle. Is that a hand up, Mr. Albert, or no? Okay. A few other applications of this principle that maybe the Rama holds fundamentally ein bishul achar bishul by davar lach, or the Rama holds that yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach, but only on the level of drabonim. Another application of this is as follows. There's something in halacha called gezeiras hefsher. Gezeiras hefsher means I'm not supposed to take food and put that food, let's say uncooked food, put that food next to a fire, not on the fire. I have my hot plate, and I'm going to put uncooked food next to the hot plate. And my kavana is I'm going to take that food away before it gets hot. Why am I doing this? Because I don't like cold food, mamish, freezing cold. I want to warm it up a teeny bit. So there's a din of gezeiras hefsher. That's usur midrabanan to take the food and leave it in a makom where it could become yad soledes over time, even if I'm going to remove it before it becomes yad soledes. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, chapter 1, din 16. He has the following suggestion. He says that if you have baby formula that was cooked once, babies generally don't like freezing cold milk. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. They like the milk that's somewhat warm. If the milk was cooked once, the formula was made with hot water at one point, but now it's mamish cold. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, since a baby is considered a chole, so the din of the Ramah, that if it's nitztane legamrei, we are not going to permit heating it up. We only permit if it's low nitztane legamrei. But this din that when it's nitztane legamrei, we don't permit it. And this din of gezeiras hefsher, that you can't put food in a place where it might become warm, b'makom chola, we won't combine these two chumras. I'm just checking if I have blank stares or stares that indicate Havana. And I'm not sure. Basically, the idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying is that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal by Davar Lach is a chumra. It's a chumra that we're going to hold off. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that you should really dry out the cup before the second cup of tea. But if I combine the chumras, if I have a chumra of bishul achar bishul by yadav alach, and I have a chumra of gezeiras hefsher, so I'm not going to combine those two chumras b'makom choli. Effectively, there is room to be mekel when you have more tzad than lahakel. Right? The din of gezeiras hefsher is fundamentally a gezeira d'rabbanan, it could be it's a chumra. B'makom choli will still hold of it. But when I have a davar lach that was already heated up, I'm going to be meko for the chole with gezeiras hefsher. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. Mr. Siegel, Shlita.
And just see if you're putting it next to the thing, but not...
Right, to put it right on top of the fire, we assume that's a much more serious iser. That's mamish an iser of chazara b'iser or something. You can't put it on the hot plate. But to put it next to the hot plate, right, in the makom where it could become yad soledes, that's okay. Yeah, so that's an interesting question. When we'll talk about chazara later on in the shiurim, we'll try to show that there are certain Sfaradi poskim, Chacham Avadya notably, who would agree with you. But mainstream halacha is not like that. Mainstream halacha is that we're much more machmir on putting something directly on the hot plate. But next to the hot plate is a sheet of Rashi who's meko on putting food next to the fire. The Rashi was a gezeiras hefsher if my kavana is to remove it before it becomes yad soledes. Rashi was a tetar gomor. The din doesn't apply at all. So behis tamech on that Rashi, right? It's kind of playing a game to some extent. Rashi is the shita that's machring yesh bishal achar bishal, but Rashi is the shita who's makel that gezeiras hefsher doesn't apply. And that's another way of saying it. Okay. Again, these things usually don't work in halacha because there's so many other rishonim. It's not just Rashi, but at least within Rashi, there's a way of saying it. Let's talk about another issue. We're discussing what is lach and what is yavesh. What about items that are complicated? You see, the definition of when I went to Yeshiva Farakway and got my excellent science education, so they told me that there's a difference between a solid and a liquid, that a liquid takes on the shape of its container and a solid doesn't. But there are certain items that are kind of semi-solids. Ketchup, for example. Ketchup doesn't really take on the shape of its container. Ketchup is globby. So is ketchup considered a lach or a yavesh? Ramosha Feinstein, one of the tshuvas in Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet, Ramosha Paskins, that ketchup is a lach. Reb Elyosha, Reb Shlomo Zalman say that they consider ketchup a yavesh. I saw one of the Sfarim argue that maybe there's a difference between American ketchup and Israeli ketchup. If there is such a difference, it goes the opposite way. Because Israeli ketchup is like, it's like Pesach ketchup. It mamish is a liquid. Heinz ketchup is gloppy. It's good in geschmack, no? I mean, I'm not supposed to be multi las and parasa earth, it says in this week's parasha. But let's be honest, Israeli ketchup's like awful, right? Now, Rav Moshe says ketchup is a lach. Even so, Rav Moshe is makel to put ketchup on a hot potato on Shabbos. But if it's a lach, I should be choshish that yesh b'shalach ha-brishal by dover lach when it's tanim l'gamri. How come Rav Moshe is makel on this? So Rav Moshe says, well, you know what? The hot potato is not necessarily mevashel in halacha. A hot potato is what we call a dover gush. Right? A dover gush is a solid item. According to the Maharshal, that the Magen Avraham quotes, a dover gush always has the name of a kli nishan. It's always mevashel. But that is a chumrah. Says Rav Moshe, since the idea that yesh bishal achar bishal by a dover lach is a chumrah, even though ketchup is a lach, Rav Moshe is makel on putting ketchup on the hot potato. That's the cheshbin that Rav Moshe has.
He wouldn't be
makel
about a liquid.
He would not be makel again. A liquid. Again?
You wanted to put cold chicken broth.
So cold chicken broth, Moshe would also l'cha'ira be mekel. But Moshe is convinced that ketchup is like a full-fledged lach. L'cha'ira, he'd be mekel even on cold chicken broth on top of a hot potato. I think that's correct from the way he presents it. Yeah. Now let's just take a step back. We say that there's a difference between the davar lach and the davar yavesh for Bishul. Why? What's the difference? So in Rav Rimon's Sefer, page 253, I believe, he has two possibilities. One possibility is that a Dover Yavesh remains an Eichel even after it cools down. Take a piece of chicken, chicken schnitzel, right? It was hot chicken schnitzel, it's gewaldic. It cools down, people eat cold chicken schnitzel. It still has a shame ochel. However, people don't eat cold chicken soup. It lost the shame ochel entirely. So therefore,
what about tea?
People, what about tea? You like asking tea. This seems to be like your go-to question.
It's not, it just keeps coming up.
So again, I would say that cold tea maintains the status of a food or a drink even after it cools down. This time of year, many people like drinking iced tea. And that is a question that Rav Rimon asks. He doesn't use tea as a question. He uses fruit soup as a question. Right? Fruit soup people eat when it's cold. So the svara that it became an eichel and it loses its status when it cools down. If it is a lach, right, it became edible and it lost its status when it cools down. That svara is questionable from fruit soup, or what you say is questionable from tea. Another possibility, which is quite similar but just a tad different, is that there is a permanent change that happens to a dover yavesh when it's cooked. A dover lach, when it's cooked, the change is not permanent. the change, it goes back to some extent to its previous state. That's an expression that some of the Achronim have, Ozlolei Bishulei, the Bishul went away. Everyone holds, for example, that a non-food item, we'll say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, right? Cooking metal. So the metal was cooked once. How come you could be chayav for cooking the second time? The teretz is, the fact that that metal was cooked once, it's lo nikar at all, not at all noticeable. Now, of course, according to this possibility also, you have the kasha of chicken soup. Because chicken soup is in Gansin Andrish. It's completely different after it was cooked. Whatever chemical change happened to the chicken soup will not revert back. Water, the chemical change will revert back. Chicken soup won't. But whatever the svara is, and it's not exactly clear what the svara to be machalik between lach and yavish, right? Either the svara of whether it's edible, or the svara of is there chemical change, or the Shvisas HaShabbos has a third svara as to whether the subsequent bishul improves the item, right? That by bishul achar bishul, by a davar lach, the subsequent bishul improves the item. It's better to have it hot than cold. But bishul achar bishul, by a davar yavish, the subsequent bishul doesn't really improve it. He suggests this. Again, that svara is a real head scratcher. No one understands what he's talking about because most people prefer hot food over cold food. But whatever the svara is, the pashtus is that ketchup should be a davar yavish, not a davar lach, no? Because ketchup went through something that is a permanent chemical change. Ketchup, it's not going to revert to its previous status. Ketchup is something that people eat when it's cold, like schnitzel. They'll eat it when it's cold. The pashtus is ketchup should for sure be a davar yavesh. And the svara of Moshe that ketchup is a davar lach is very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand. Okay. So what we're trying to do is be magdir, what is lach and what is yavesh? So one of the questions is semi-solids. Another question is something that began as a davar yavesh and becomes lach in the process of cooking it. Let's say I have fat. I take a piece of meat that has, you know, the chunky fat on the side. I heat it up. That fat becomes liquidy over time. Siftes Zayin in Shulchan Aruch says that in panada, apparently it's like a Spanish word that you could buy over here in the, you know, on Amsterdam Avenue in the trucks. So an empanada is mutter to heat up on Shabbos. There is no bishul on the empanada. The Mechaber writes in Shin Yud Ches Seif Tes Zayin. The lashon on the Mechaber is Mutar litein empanada keneged ha'esh b'makom shayad soledas. Ach al pi shashumen sheba nikrash chozev v'nimoach. The Mechaber says it's mutter. There's no iser bishul. Right now it's yavesh. It has the din of yavesh, even though it becomes lach over time. The Ramah is machmir, because the Ramah holds that there's a din derabbanan of molid or nolar or something along those lines. The Gemara on Memches says that a merakzin loas ha borad loyas ha shalag. You're not allowed to take snow or ice and chop it. Why not? So Rashi has an expression that's domela malacha. When you take something and you change from solid to liquid, it looks like a malacha. It's not really a malacha. It has the appearance of a malacha. The Sefer HaTruma has an expression that it is nolad, in the sense of it's like a form of muktzah. It's an item that I could not have used at the beginning of Shabbos. I could not have used it the way it is now. So therefore, it's like a form of muktzah, therefore it's nolad. The Rambam probably has a third shita in the sugya. But be it as it may, both the Mechaber and the Ramah hold that there is no problem of bishul on something that is currently solid and liquefies in the process of cooking. There might be an iser drabanan of moilid / nolad, but there's no real iser of bishul, because right now it's yavesh, bleibt yavesh. That seems to be accepted in halacha, although, right, we should note that the Taz over there in Siftes Zayin, the Taz quotes that the Lavush changes the gears in the Shulchan Aruch. The Lavush was one of these sheet. There's a whole bunch of Achronim who never accepted the binding power of the Shulchan Aruch, no? The Maharshal and the Lavush, right? These are the fellows who generally lose the halacha, right? Because generally we follow the Shulchan Aruch. It's kimat always. The Shach and the Taz quote a Lavush and they say, we don't hold a Lavush. And that's standard Yerideya, standard Shulchan Aruch. So Lavush writes, how could it be that something was solid and then becomes a liquid and there's no bishul on it? Lamaisa, you're cooking a liquid. And Lamaisa, bishul is a process that's not dependent on just that moment of putting the food down. Bishul is an ongoing process. Haraya, the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos discusses, if I put food in the oven, should you come and do an iser d'rabbanon of taking the food out of the oven so I do not get killed? So I'm not chayiv skila. Right? There's an iser d'rabbanon of rediyas hapas, an iser d'rabbanon of taking the bread out of the oven. I put the bread in the oven. Should you violate an iser d'rabbanon to save me from a chayiv skila? Now, what I see from that? I see from that, l'cha'ayra, says the Lavush, that the din of bishul can be overturned. I put food in the oven. You're going to come and you're going to save me. You're going to put on your Superman cape and jump into that oven and take the bread out. So I'm not chayiv skila. That means I wasn't chayiv skila the moment I put the food in the oven. That means that bishul is an ongoing process. If bishul is an ongoing process, says the Lavush, so when you have an empanada, you have food that right now is solid and will become liquid over time, there should be a chayiv bishul on it, because later on it's going to be a liquid, especially according to the Mechaber, who holds that yesh bishul achar bishul b'yidavar lach. So therefore, the Lavush says, you know what? There's a mistake that crept into the, is it creeped or crept? I don't know. There's a mistake that fell into the language of the Shulchan Aruch. When the Mechaber says, that's mutar litein empanada keneged ha'esh, it should say, b'makom she'ein hayad say like this. The way we have in text, it says, makom she'ayad say like this. The Lavush changes the gears, it just adds one word, ein instead of yesh. So like everyone says, my dear beloved Lavush, like, what are you talking about? Right? But the Lavush, just worth noting, the Lavush holds that there is a din of bishul, real bishul, on something that begins solid and becomes liquid over time. Again, that's a related question for our Hagdara issue of solid versus liquid. Yeah, can I just ask you to speak loud, because I didn't put my hearing aids on.
It sounds also like if a solid won't return to its solid state after being cooled, then that would be another distinction. Like if it went from solid to liquid and never recoagulated, then even the Shohar and Ramah might say.
If it goes from, you're saying if it goes from liquid to solid.
From solid to liquid?
Right.
And then it goes from there, right. Once it cools down.
But again, you can't violate bishul by cooling it down. That's
no,
not shy.
Only if it will eventually recoagulate, will it not be bishul?
Oh.
Because this is the lashon, and I only listen to it, right? The lashon
hoel, right? Because afal pi shashulim shava chozev v'nimoach. That means it becomes a liquid afterwards. They don't talk about the other case. But what's interesting is as follows. Can I take chicken soup and frozen chicken soup out of the freezer and put it next to a fire on Shabbos if I'm a Sephardi? No? It's already an interesting question, right? If you hold that right now, it's a solid. And so there's no bishul. The only concern is if you're an Ashkenazi, you're worried about Noilad or Moilad. But a Sephardi isn't worried about that at all. So maybe it's permitted. Right? Ashkenazim are nervous about Molad or Nolad. We have this Ramo over here in Shin Yud Chesef Tazayin. We also have Ramo at the end of Shin Chav about not using soap on Shabbos because it's Molad or Nolad. Again, I'm not talking about like really hard soap that smooths out. That might be Mimareyach, the Mishnah Berurah Consulate of Pharisee Israel. But soap that just changes from solid to liquid without getting smoothed down. Ramo's Machna. Ramo holds that there's a concern, Molad or Nolad. Sfaradim don't have such a concern. So my nephew, who's doing Hilchos Shabbos now in the Gush, who said that? Well, I forgot which Rebbe says like the Tabor is in Hilchos Shabbos in the Gush. Maybe Danny Schreiber or something? Yeah. So he told me, he sends me like issues. He says like, are you going to tell me it's permitted to put chicken soup next to a fire if you're a Sfaradim? So that, it's like, that's inconceivable. It can't be. Right? But why not? So it's taco, good kasha. It's not so poshut that for a Sephardi, it would be usher to put frozen chicken soup next to the fire. Because if we hold that there's no bishul, because right now it's a solid, unless you're going to say that we treat frozen chicken soup like liquid in a different form, not like the fat, which is a solid, but that's already conceptually a hard sphere to formulate. Yeah.
I'm a little confused. But Shamar was saying this, is it the transformation from the solid to the liquid that's mother, or even the cooking of a
little
bit in its state later that
keeps
it still?
Right now, I'm transforming solid to liquid. I would have thought that there should be an iser bishul because I'm cooking a liquid in that process. It's going to end up being a liquid that's yatsa
ledes. Is that just a little kind of? I don't understand. Once you keep it on, what's the reason that it should be?
Right. So that's the levushas taina. The levush says, but 1 second, you're cooking a liquid. The answer is no. We hold basa meikara, not basa lebasov. So when I put it down, it's a solid. Well, if that's correct, so I have to deal with my frozen chicken soup, Shaila. Again, halacha lemaisa, right? Don't put frozen chicken soup next to the fire. For sure, putting it on the fire is also. But even putting it next to the fire should be a real problem. Another issue that comes up, which is related to this, salt. The Gemara has a discussion about bishul on salt. Some say tzricha milcha bishula kebisra datura, that salt is not going to be mevashel even in kli rishon on the fire. Others say that salt is going to be mevashel even in a kli sheni. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, that whole conversation is about the type of salt that they used to have, which is just a rock that you ore out of a mountain, right? Like you wrote, right? You ore it out of the mountain. But the way we have salt, that comes from desalinization, which is, let's say you take water from the Dead Sea and you cook that water, so it's already mevushal. So then for sure you're allowed to put the salt into a kli rishon. That's the pashtus. That's the pashtus of the halacha.
Is all of our salt cooked?
Is all of our salt cooked? All of our
I was going to say, what if you have like a Himalayan rock salt or something?
So Himalayan rock salt is not cooked, correct. Sea salt, anything that says it is sea salt was cooked. Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to put it in a kli rishon, for sure, no problem. Or I'll say better. Mishnah Berurah says that it's mutter, but you should be machmir, but yesh machmirin. This idea that it's mutter, but you should be machmir, comes from a line in the Mordechai. The Mordechai in Simen Shin Ches has a line where he quotes a Rabbeinu Don, who distinguishes between cooked salt and not cooked salt. Then he says, yesh machmirin. And it's not exactly clear whether the yesh machmirin in the Mordechai is talking about the cooked salt, whether the Yesh Machmir and the Mordechai is talking about uncooked salt. It's not clear how to read the Mordechai, the guy on the bottom of the Mordechai, the Big Day Yesha, whoever it is, plays like some Girsa issue. But that issue, l'cha'ira, should be totally in our conversation. You see, when I take salt, which was a solid, salt dissolves in liquid. It becomes a liquid, no? By definition, it dissolves. So if you're nervous about bishul, when the solid becomes a liquid, which would be in line with that lavush, etc., so then we'd understand why you should be machmir on the salt. Again, this is what we'd say in Yiddish, very far-fetched. But nonetheless, the pashtus in the reading of the Mishnah Brura is that he's nervous about this. Right? That seems to be what's going on. Let's talk about another issue related to solid and liquid. Before we get there, there's one thing I skipped, which is in our conversation about the small droplets of cooked water. So one of the issues that comes up is the ladle that I use to take out my chicken soup. There's going to be some droplets of cooked liquid on that ladle, no? Rabbi Willig says you should be machmir. We used to do this in Marish HaKola, to leave the ladle in the pot, because that way the drops won't cool down. If you take the ladle out, Rabbi Willig calls that you should be machmir, that Rabbi Willig is choshesh, that the Ramah fundamentally paskens yesh b'shalach b'shal by davar lach, and therefore, if you take the ladle out, you have to be very careful to completely dry the ladle off before putting it back in. Again, I think the minhag olam is not like this, but the general approach is whenever you have a chumrah that's easy to do, you may as well do it. And that's what the Ran tells us in Maseches Psachim. That's what Yeshiva's learning now, no? There's a shayla in the Gemara, whether you do haseb on the first two cups or the last two cups, right? We do haseb on all four cups. Why is that? So the Ran has one opinion. He says, it's easy, but haseb is not so hard. I know, me and the Ran, we don't see things the same way. I think haseb is actually very difficult. But the Ran says, haseb is not hard, so you may as well haseb by all four cups. So any chumrah that's easy, you may as well do. So if you can dry out the cup, right, farvos nisht, right? You can dry out the ladle, farvos nisht, but on a fundamental level, if it's a tiny amount of liquid, just like Rav Moshe is making on the second cup of tea, because we fundamentally hold that ein b'shal achar b'shal by lach, l'cha'or, the same should be true by the tiny bit of drops on the ladle. Now, it's not clear, however, what is considered a few drops. At what point does it become more than a few drops? Yes, Mr. Blau.
So just in terms of the ladle, why would it not be an issue as soon as you even take one scoop out and then try to put it back in? Like, why is there...
I don't think it cools down that fast. I think the metzius is, if I take it out, I just pour the soup in my bowl and I put the ladle in right away, even those drops never cooled off.
Oh, because they need to have fully cooled off for it to be an issue, right?
Right.
Okay.
And because we hold that if it's not netzani in the gamma, it's right. Okay. Now, this whole conversation that we're making is only if it is a few drops. If there's significant accumulation, we are more machmir. Now, that idea is found in the Mishnah Berurah Se'if Katan Lamed Beis. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like, when it comes to my second cup of tea, that what I should do is take the cup and get rid of that liquid at the bottom of the cup, you know, like imagine it's a salt shaker, you get rid of it, and then you can make the second cup of tea. If it's a tiny amount of accumulation, the Mishnah Berurah is megel. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rabbeinu Yerucham that maybe we could be even more megel than that. Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham that maybe I look at Roiv. Let's talk about a related case. I have a piece of meat that was cooked. There's going to be some drops of liquid on the top of that cooked meat. Is that a davar yavish or a davar lach? Right? If I'm a Sfaradi, I have to be nervous, certainly, that yesh b'shal achar b'shal by davar lach. So Beis Yosef says, Rabbeinu Yerucham says you follow Roiv. Rav Rimon points out in his Sefer that the way we have Rabbeinu Yerucham in our books, Rabbeinu Yerucham, it says punkt vakert. It says that you don't follow Rav. But the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham that you follow Rav. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, and even more explicitly in the Chabad Siddur, there's like a page called Hilchos Rabbis on the Shabbos, where the Alter Rebbe has like three chumras about Hilchos Shabbos. One in terms of Boireir, and he also has this chumra in terms of Bishalach Har Bishal. The Alter Rebbe says that you have to clean it out entirely. Make sure there are zero droplets that remain. The Prima Godim and the Mishnah Berurah seem to say the Mahalach of significant accumulation. But this question is also a very important question in terms of how am I Magdir Lachen Yavish. But when I said the Shiurim last time in January, Moshe Rothman pointed out that we have to be very careful. The conversation about Lach and Yavesh, and I follow Rav according to the Beis Yosef, that's true only on stuff that was cooked once. The Gemara says that Bisra Datura, right, only cooks in the Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh. Ox meat does not cook in the Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. The Mishnah Berurah is Machmir. He quotes the Magen Avraham, the early Achrayim are Machmir, that if that's only talking about like a piece of beef jerky, piece of like completely dry meat. But if you have a piece of meat with some liquid on it, so then you have to be nervous about cooking those drops of liquid. So Moshe Rothman asked, he said, how can I say that we're not concerned with the tiny drops of liquid? So the answer is, I am concerned with tiny drops of liquid if it was never cooked. But in a situation where it was cooked once, then I'm not concerned with the tiny drops of liquid. Right? So when the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatin Samach Tes, Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't put a piece of meat in a Kli Rishon because of the tiny drops. Yeah, that's talking about when the meat is uncooked. But if the meat is cooked, so then unless you're a Chabadnik who feels that you mamish have to be choshesh, that it's entirely dried, right? Again, according within the sheet of the Mechaber, it's unclear whether Chabad would be, actually no, in the Siddur, it's clear that he'd be mad. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe says this only within the Mechaber. In the Siddur, he's writing for everybody. And he says you should be machmir to make sure it's 100% dry. That's the Alter Rebbe Shita. The Beis Yosef would say that we follow Rove entirely. And the Mishnah Berurah says as long as there's no significant accumulation, we consider it Yavesh. So these are some of the conversations related to what is Lach and what is Yavesh. It's now 12:45, so the shiur is done. Anyone who has a question or a comment or observation, I'm happy to stay and listen. Those of you who feel that there's a din, the Baal Tosef and Talmud Torah are free to leave.
Just a question on the ladle. Meaning according to Ravol, one is serving soup. So they are continuously serving, so there's no issue putting the ladle in then because it's not going to cool off that.
Correct.
So only between, let's say, you know,
if I want a second bowl of soup, like 20 minutes, half an hour after the first bowl, I shouldn't leave.
But the bowl in the stomach, meaning the soup in the stomach will cool down by that. Meaning, Friday night is off.
So let's say, you have to be more nervous about putting the ladle into the pot because that pot is a Kli Rishon, as opposed to my bowl where I have more Svaris Lahaka because of Kli Sheni, et cetera, Eroi, exactly. Okay, gentlemen, we should all be blessed and have a marvelous day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach.